You are tuned in to the CU Insight Trendline, the credit union industry's podcast for the latest perspectives, shifts, and key content to keep you informed and ahead. I'm Greg Micklig, President and CEO at CUinsight.com, here to bring you the trends shaping our industry every other week, all in under 15 minutes. Let's track the trend. Thank you for joining me on this episode of the CU Insight Trendline. We are in Financial Literacy Month, and I'm excited for you to hear my interview with Lauren Culp, Executive Director at the National Credit Union Foundation, on that topic later in the episode. We're also going to be hearing about Buy Now, Pay Later, the balance of digital growth and personal service, and generative search for credit unions. Let's dive into those topics right now with CU Insight's Managing Editor, John Pettit.
I'm John Pettit, and these are my top three trending stories on CU Insight. And number three this week is an article titled, Buy Now, Pay Later is Becoming Everyday Banking. Will credit unions lead or follow? From Valera's Angel Siorek. Buy Now, Pay Later isn't a trend anymore. It's how people pay. And as debit-based Buy Now, Pay Later surges, credit unions find themselves at a crossroads. Let fintechs own that experience, or step in and make it their own. The opportunity here is real, because unlike third parties, credit unions can use full member insight to turn Buy Now, Pay Later into a financial wellness tool, not just a checkout button. The path forward is simple. Embed it, own it, and keep that relationship where it belongs. Number two this week is, credit unions must balance digital growth with personal service. From Typhoon's Ken McCarthy. Growth is strong at 717 Credit Union, but the story here isn't just bigger, it's smarter. They're doubling down on digital with a clear-eyed view that most transactions are going there fast, while redefining branches as places for real conversations and community connection. It's a playbook more credit unions should study. Lead with value, invest in tech, but never lose the human touch. Stay tuned later in the podcast for my number one article.
Are you looking to grow stronger leaders at your credit union? Of course you are. CU Insight's MiniCon is built to do just that. This quarter's virtual conference features Elizabeth McCormick, a former U.S. Army Black Hawk helicopter pilot who led high-pressure missions where every decision counted. She brings these same leadership lessons into the workplace, helping leaders stay focused, confident, and effective when it matters most. You'll learn how to avoid the hidden costs of multitasking, focus on what truly matters using a simple leadership formula, and build the confidence to lead with clarity and impact. Plus, you'll walk away with practical steps to inspire excellence through small, consistent actions that drive real results over time. If you're developing emerging and mid-level leaders, or you're one yourself, this is a smart investment in your growth. Learn more at minicon.cuinsight.com. That's minicon.cuinsight.com. And thank you to Allied Solutions for making this event possible.
The CU Insight Trendline is brought to you with support from the following CU Insight collaborators. Filene Research Institute strengthens organizations through innovative research and incubation to improve consumer financial well-being. As an independent cooperative finance think tank, Filene's membership network connects a community of leaders and bright minds to change lives through innovation, truth, and cooperation. In addition to delivering cutting-edge, actionable academic research, Filene also provides incubators to test and scale solutions, events to spark organizations into action, and advisory services to help accelerate and implement innovation. For more information, visit filene.org. DCUC, the trusted resource for credit unions on all military and veteran matters. Whether working on strategic or operational issues, or addressing regulatory and legislative matters, DCUC's close and constant liaison with the DOD, Capitol Hill, and the NCUA has ensured members of the United States Armed Forces, our nation's veterans, and their families are provided financial services in the finest traditions of the credit union philosophy.
Lauren Culp was named the Executive Director of the National Credit Union Foundation in August of 2024. She took the seat full-time at the beginning of 2025. Prior to that, Lauren was my predecessor here at CU Insight. It was a pleasure to connect with her and talk about financial literacy and some of the things that are being worked on at the National Credit Union Foundation. Lauren, thanks for joining me today. I am curious, how do you expect financial literacy to evolve in the coming years?
One of the most interesting things about where we are today is the application of AI across just the world. And I think that there's going to be some really interesting use cases for AI with financial literacy. One of the biggest challenges that people face when they're thinking about, should I go see a financial counselor? Should I not? A lot of times it's the shame component. I don't want to talk about my financial situation. I might be embarrassed to share. And so the people who need financial literacy training or financial counseling, and by the way, financial literacy has such a negative, in some places, negative stereotype associated with it, negative connotation. But the people who need it the most end up not actually seeking out those resources because they are maybe embarrassed. And so I think there's something really interesting. You know, we've heard all the stories about people using AI and sharing their deepest, darkest secret with the bot that may not actually be as private as they think. But I actually think there's going to be a really interesting use case for AI where maybe there isn't that shame component because it is a machine, but we know that there are different AI platforms out there that can pass the bar, or, you know, I think that we're going to see something like that, that evolves beyond just providing information, but to be really customized to what people might need at a certain point in their life. So that's what I hope for. And that's what I would say financial literacy in the coming years, I think, can be even more accessible than it's been. Although we know that it's just a small part of financial well-being overall.
Lauren, that's really interesting, especially the AI piece of it. I hadn't thought about that when it came to this topic. I appreciate you bringing that part forward. And then just thinking about the connotations, the negative connotations that you mentioned, if you had a chance to rebuild the concept of financial literacy, removing all the stigma and miseducation from it, what would you do differently this time? And how might that change people's financial well-being?
There are so many good things associated with the idea of financial literacy. But to your point, Greg, there's a lot that I think is misunderstood, or there is this negative stigma, because what we find is in a lot of cases, it's not someone doesn't know what they need to do. It's just that they feel like, you know, there's nothing I can do. We've got a ton of households in the United States that qualify under sort of the ALICE designation, and that's asset limited, income constrained, but employed, and in some cases overemployed, and yet they still can't make ends meet. And so there's a bigger systemic problem than just their literacy or illiteracy. And I think that's why people don't like that label literacy, because it's not that you're not necessarily literate in what you need to do. But what I would say we could do if we were to rebuild the whole thing, first of all, I would really categorize it as an essential life skill. There are still a lot of states in our country where financial education is not a part of your, you know, elementary school, middle school, high school curriculum, college curriculum. And it's such an essential life skill. So I think that I would start there and say, this is on par with reading. Can you read? And also, do you understand your finances, and are we equipping you the right way to understand that? And then the other thing that comes to mind when we think about the idea of financial literacy is it's such a small part of somebody's overall financial well-being. And so as much focus as we put on financial education, I believe we need to put the same amount of focus into helping folks to overcome some of the other barriers in other places in their lives. The foundation has published over the years what we call the 12 development issues. And those are the things that are standing in the way of somebody achieving financial well-being. Things like employment or credit access or Gosh, there's a million, hunger, transportation, even, savings account balances and things like that. And I think one of the other ones that we're starting to see that may need to get added to that list is childcare costs or elder care costs for the sandwich generation, our Gen Xers. And so there are so many different components. And I think when we rebuild the concept of financial literacy, I would say we have to take the shame out of it. We have to make it just such an essential life skill and an essential part of what every single one of us grows up understanding. And so if we can do that, if we can take the shame out of it, there is that really interesting AI use case. But I think that that would have a really big impact on financial well-being in our nation, and that everybody could be to the sort of the point literate in financial well-being. But at the same time, just knowing that it's not literacy or illiteracy that stands in the way. Sometimes there are other barriers that we can focus on, work together to help folks overcome.
You packed a lot of great information into both of those answers. And I know there's so much more that you and the foundation are doing. We will point to your website to make sure people can go find all of that following this interview. Lauren, thanks so much for joining me on the CU Insight Trendline podcast.
Thanks, Greg. You guys are doing some really cool stuff at CU Insight, and we're excited to be a part.
Thank you.
To learn more about this topic and the many other things the foundation offers to the credit union system, such as financial well-being for all programming, the CUDE program, class of 2013, best class ever, other DE alumni resources, grants, disaster relief, and so much more, be sure to visit www.ncuf.coop. And now, let's hear what our number one trending article is for this episode of the CU Insight Trendline.
Welcome back. My number one article trending on CU Insight is, your credit union is missing from ChatGPT and Google AI results. What CMOs need to fix now. From Evoke's Larry Metter. AI isn't changing search, it's replacing it. And right now, most credit unions aren't showing up in the answers that matter. The shift to answer engine optimization means your content has to be clear, structured, and genuinely useful, or it gets ignored. The opportunity is wide open, but not for long. Start building for AI now, or you might be invisible in the places your members are already looking. I recently asked Larry, if a credit union could only take one or two concrete actions in the next 90 days to start showing up in AI-generated answers, what would you prioritize, and how would you measure whether it's actually working?
If I had to prioritize just one or two things over the next 90 days, I'd start with something I call AI visible authority. And what I mean by that is pretty simple. You want to create content that directly answers the real questions your members are asking and do that clearly, credibly, and in your own voice. Because the reality is, AI tools don't reward brands, they reward answers. The second thing I'd focus on is making sure that content is actually structured in a way AI can find and trust it. So we're talking about things like schema, clear authorship, and consistency across your website, and even the third-party platforms where your credit union shows up. Now, when it comes to measurement, I'd also shift the way you're thinking about success. It's not just about rankings anymore. The real question is, are you showing up inside the answers themselves? Are you being cited? Are you being referenced? And maybe most importantly, are those impressions turning into high intent traffic and real conversions? What we're seeing in this next phase of search is that visibility isn't really about being first on Google. It's about being the source that AI chooses to trust.
Thanks, Larry. That's all for my top three trending articles on CU Insight. Greg, back to you.
Thank you, John. And thank you to all who tuned in for this episode of the CU Insight Trendline. If you liked what you've heard on this episode, please take a moment to like and share this podcast with a colleague. And be sure to visit the podcast section of CUinsight.com for more episodes from us, along with featured podcasts from other industry leaders. The team and I will be back next time with more trending updates to keep you informed and ahead of the curve. Until then, we'll keep tracking the trend.